Now, what's it like editing an international art journal and being at the heart of the art world? Australian Jennifer Higgy is editorial director of Frieze magazine, a publication dedicated to contemporary art and culture. It has offices in London, Berlin and New York, and it's part of a family that includes the Frieze art fairs. I spoke to Jennifer when I was in London about Frieze and whether it falls into the category of esoteric, jargonistic art magazines.
Well, one of our aims, which I hope we're successful in, is that we really like to promote writing that's clear and concise, is stylish, is occasionally humorous, because we were fed up with sort of art speak, the amount of art jargon in most art presses that are really deadening. So we tried to publish a magazine that's as clear and enjoyable to read as possible.
And it's really international. So when you say international, do you have writers around the world or just in the big art centres like New York, London, Berlin, etc.?
Well, we've got offices in London, Berlin and New York, but we also have writers all over the world. You know, we have writers in Australia, we have writers in India and China, throughout continental Europe, in South America, and we have a lot of contributing editors as well in these areas. So we try to be global in our scope.
Now, one of the things in the past was that it was the big centres, and artists who came from Timbuktu or Vladivostok or, you know, Southeast Asia or Australia, all the less exalted parts of the art world, didn't really get a look in. Do you address that? Because it does seem that there is a bias towards the big centres still.
Well, of course, you know, the big cities of the world do have, you know, very rich and interesting art scenes. But there's been a really radical shift in thinking around issues of what modernity is and what globalism is in the last few years. And our magazine, as well as many institutions and curators, now recognise that there's art being made in all across the world, and that things like the modernist canon isn't just something that came out of New York. It was also happening in Turkey or Indonesia or China or Australia. And so we are very rigorous in our approach to looking at art as something that is manifested around the world by many different communities, many different approaches, many different heritages and cultural traditions. And that's one of the very radical shifts that's happened in museums, especially. You look at Tate Modern now, and with when the new wing opened in 2016, they had a 50% hang of women, and that's something that's very important to Frieze as well. We always aim to have a gender balance in the magazine, but also it wasn't just a story of modernity that was about, you know, New York, Paris, and London. It was also about great art being made all around the world.
Now, we mentioned Australia earlier. You hail from Melbourne, or at least that's where you went to. You did your postgraduate art research at the Victorian College of the Arts. So tell us a bit about your journey. How did you get from there to here?
Well, actually, I did my undergrad in Canberra, so I'm a Canberra girl. So I did my degree in painting at the Canberra School of Art, and then I did my MA in painting at the VCA. And then in 1993, I think it was, I was lucky enough to win the Keith and Elizabeth Murdoch Travelling Fellowship for 9 months to come to London. And I ended up staying. So, and when I was here, I was still making art, but then I started writing a lot more. I was also doing a lot of waitressing and, you know, but it was exciting being here. And I sent some writing to Frieze and I started writing reviews, and then it sort of went on from there, really.
Now, I believe that you actually had a deal with a friend at art school that whoever won the scholarship, and you obviously decided it was going to be one of you, the other would pay the airfare. So who was that? So how did that work?
That was David Noonan, who's a very dear friend, who's a great artist who lives here in London. But we were together at VCA. And yes, we were both in that competition. And we did make a vow that we'd take it, whoever won, if we did win. And we really didn't think either of us were going to win. So it was a bit of a joke, really. But then I, by some miracle, did win. And He looked at me and said, "Yep, we're going to London." So we came over together.
And you went, "Oh my God, I've got to find another airfare now."
No, I was very happy for him to come too. Yeah.
So he has kept up painting. Do you still paint?
Not as such, but I do manifest my creativity in other ways. Sorry, that sounds very pompous. But so I did illustrate a children's book, which is published by Scribe, called There's Not One. Yeah.
Here we are. We're sitting in the offices of Frieze, and we're in the East End of London, which was, and I think still is, sort of like the epicentre of groovy contemporary art in London. Is it still the centre? Because it was in the early 90s when you first came to London, wasn't it? And it was a young British artist. It was all very, very groovy, and London was happening. Is London still a happening art place?
Oh, very much so. I mean, Shoreditch really has now become too expensive for young artists and writers to live in. So the really happening scenes now are more, say, South London or further east. But, you know, I mean, the problem with London is that it's incredibly expensive for people to live here. And it is a wonderfully interesting and vibrant place to live, but it's very tough for young artists and writers, or not even young ones, you know, older ones too. So that has meant that the flip side of that is that there's been a real regeneration of art scenes outside of London in places like, you know, a friend in Nottingham was saying, for example, that in previous years, an art graduate from Nottingham would come straight to London. Now they stay there, which means that there are great art scenes happening now in smaller towns and cities around the UK, which has been great for the culture throughout the UK.
Now, Frieze magazine is one of the branches, as you said, of the Frieze Empire. There's also the Frieze Art Fair, and that's a commercial venture. How does, you know, I'm sure lots of people ask you, how does Frieze magazine maintain its editorial purity when you've got a commercial sort of wing to the empire, and, you know, obviously there'll be all kinds of pressures and temptations to sort of cross-fertilise?
Well, I mean, that was when the art fair started 15 years ago. That was a huge discussion we had, you know, how would it impact on the perceived independence of the magazine? And we've been so strict about that editorial separation between the commercial aspect of the company and the magazine. I don't feel like we have to argue our case anymore, because hopefully anyone who picks up the magazine will recognise how independent we are from that. And the art fair brings a lot of really interesting stuff to, you know, what we do in terms of our access to galleries. The fact that, you know, three times a year we can, or rather the two fairs in London and the one in New York, it means that, you know, we have access to some of the most interesting galleries around the world. And the art fair is always accompanied by a talks program, a film program, a music program. So it's a very rich week when that happens, yeah.
Now, you've lived here for almost 30 years. Do you get back to Australia much, and do you keep an eye on the art world in Australia?
Yeah, hugely. I mean, I've been here. I moved here 1993, so what's that, 25 years? Oh, my God. yeah, I'm very closely connected still to Australia. I go back every year for about a month. I've got a lot of close friends in the art world there. We have writers working from there and reporting back. We've covered artists online and in the magazine. So, yeah, very, very closely connected still.
And in the past, artists from Australia felt that they had to come to Europe or America to somehow complete their artistic journey of training, but also in order to connect with people and be relevant. Is that still true? Do you still have to come to New York or London or Berlin to get a foot in the international art world? Can you do it staying in Ballarat or Canberra or Brisbane?
You know, I think Australia has a fantastically interesting art scene. I mean, some really great galleries, great artists, great curators. But I have noticed that, you know, curators looking for new artists in Europe or from Europe or the US, they often don't travel to Australia. They see it as being too far away still. So, you know, you can have a great career as an artist in Australia, but in terms of getting a toe into the international world, you often do have to travel, yeah, and be quite sort of global in your outlook.
And it still is. It's not just you sending a video of your work, or the video that is your work, that you actually, it does still work with curators coming to studios and actually sitting down and talking to artists and making propositions, does it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the art world is a very social world. You know, it's built on conversations and interactions, and, you know, it's one of those worlds where there's very little separation between your work and your leisure. I mean, it's so much is built up on personal connections. Yeah.
Do you still get a buzz out of
being editor of Frieze, working for Frieze, and a buzz out of the art world after all these years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I started at Frieze, I had never worked on a magazine. It was a tiny team working out of a tiny office in Soho. You know, now we have, you know, a really big and vibrant team. We have an amazingly brilliant editorial team. No 2 days are ever alike in this job. So I have a great capacity for boredom, but I've never been bored by, you know, either working at Frieze or writing or travelling and, you know, looking at what artists are making around the world. Absolutely not.
Well, Jennifer, great to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Fiona. I really appreciate it.
And that was Jennifer Higgy, Australian-born editorial director of Frieze magazine. And if you're interested in her take on women artists, go to our website for a link to her amazing Instagram account. It's full of biographies of incredible women artists you've never heard of, and she's got a book on the subject in the works as well.